Hearts. This is Bob Martin, and I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And before we get into today's message, it's entitled The Father of Spirits. The Father of Spirits. But before I take you into the message, I'd like to invite some of you, any of you, who really want to go a little bit deeper in discipleship to visit our website, challengeministries.com. When you get there, click on Listen at the top of the page, and that will give you access to several expressions of ministry in Challenge Ministries. I'd like to invite you to go to Basic Bible Training. When you get to Basic Bible Training, that will open up 7 lessons with the teaching and the answers there that you can do at home. Home Bible study. So once again, go to our website, Challenge Ministries. Click on Listen at the top of the page, and that will open up to you different avenues of expression of the ministry of Challenge. But it will give you access to our basic Bible training. I wrote this material. I wrote the material for the Florida Bible Institute, some 32 lessons. I wanted our people to be grounded in the Word of God, and I want as many of you as are willing to be grounded in the Word of God, and if you realize perhaps you're lacking somewhat, I invite you. Some of you don't have a church. Some of you are not in a church home. Some of you are not in discipleship training. So I'm going to invite you to go to our website, challengeministries.com, and then click on Listen, and that'll give you access to our basic Bible training, some 7 lessons, with the questions, with the answers, with the worksheet, all of it. Then you can also access the rest of our Florida Bible Institute discipleship lessons there. So I hope that you will perhaps take advantage of this. And now, I want to take you to today's message, which was our Sunday message yesterday, The Father of Spirits. Be blessed as you listen. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're back there again this morning. Want to fill in some blanks. I hope to be looking at verses 6 through 15. And going into the message this morning, let me make a couple of opening comments to prepare you for what's coming. Nobody likes correction. Nobody likes to be corrected from any source. You see, to be corrected means I was wrong. And we don't like to admit that we were wrong. I was I'll go ahead and tell you. The company I was with, the boss came in one day, the president of the company, says, I think we got a thief in our operation in Pensacola. Uh-oh. Can you catch him? I said, if he's a thief, I can catch him. That's what I do. So he said, well, I just bought a brand new vehicle. Break it in, going over there. Now, in those days, we had Interstate 10 from here to Tallahassee, but from Tallahassee going other, we had Highway 90, 2-lane. So I left the house that morning about 6:30, 6 o'clock. I was going to go to Pensacola, catch this thief, and be back home that night with my wife. So to do that, you got to hurry. So on the other side of Tallahassee, I was hurrying. And I was doing about 100 mile an hour on a 2-lane road in his new Pontiac. And I come around a curve, and I meet a highway patrolman. So I just went ahead and pulled off the road, stopped, got out, got my billfold out with my driver's license, and sure enough, here he comes. And he sees me, but he couldn't get stopped quick enough. He goes by me, gets stopped, and backs up. Comes up to me and says, I said, good morning, how are you? He said, how fast were you going? I said, about 100. He said, it wasn't quite that bad. You want to see it on the scope? I said, okay. So he takes me back to his car. I sit down, he shows me the scope. I was doing 97 point something. And he's got my driver's license, and he's sitting there tapping the steering wheel with my driver's license. He said, Mr. Martin, where are you going in such a hurry? I said, well, I'm going to Pensacola to catch a thief. And I thought I'd catch him and be back home with my wife tonight. So I was kind of pushing the envelope. He kept tapping the steering wheel with my driver's license. And then he just really shocked me. He said, "Mr. Martin, if I don't write you a ticket, how long will it be before you speed again?" Now, here I am doing, he showed me on the scope, I was doing 97 point something mile per hour. And I said, I'll give you my word. If you don't write me a ticket, I will not speed again from here to Pensacola. Now, I didn't say a thing about coming back. But from here to Pensacola, he said, "Well," he said, "I believe you." And I'm 97.3 miles per hour, two-lane road, 55 mile an hour speed limit. And he hands me my driver's license. He said, "I believe you." He said, "Well, just to help keep you honest, I'm going to let a couple of my friends down the road know you're heading that way." Now, my point in telling you that is this. We all do things we ought not to do.
Amen.
I knew I was wrong, but I was doing it anyway. The president comes and said, "Break in my car." I was going to break it in for him. And I thought I'd break it in for him the way I break my own in. So I couldn't believe that that highway patrolman handed me my license. And he said, "Go on." He said, "But I got a couple of friends up the road. I'm going to let them know you're coming." He wanted me to make sure I didn't break the speed limit from that point on to Pensacola. And I didn't. I didn't. Now, my reason in telling you that is this. We all do things and say things and think things that we shouldn't say, do, or think.
Amen. Yes.
And there's not always somebody around to caution us, to stop us, to check us. But the Holy Spirit's always there.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is always there. We don't like to be wrong.
No.
None of us. We don't like to be wrong. And if we are wrong, we don't want it exposed. We don't like to have our wrongness exposed. In any expression of life, you can be wrong. And you are wrong. How many times a day are we wrong? Either in our thought life, our speech, our responses, our reactions. If you take the time to really stop and consider your life, who am I? Am I really light? Am I really salt? Or am I a compromise? Have I compromised my walk with the Lord? In my speech? In my actions? In my attitudes? In my reactions? Have I compromised my walk with the Lord? And this is something that each of us have to be conscious of. We have to be we need to be spirit-sensitive every day of the world. To be chastened by God, I've been there. I've had God chasten me, and I knew when it happened, He was chastening me. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I had a burr under my saddle about a guy years and years and years and years and years ago. Maybe 40 years ago, I don't know. But I had a burr under my saddle because of a particular individual in the church, something he was and something he was saying, and I decided I was going to read him the Riot Act because my background lent itself to reading the Riot Act. So I was going to read him the Riot Act, and so I had it all made up in my mind. Wednesday night, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to say, "Come here, sport." And I was going to read him the Riot Act. Well, I sat down in a chair, put my leg in the wrong direction, and pulled a muscle in my leg. Couldn't hardly stand up, much less walk. And while sitting there, and I called an associate, and I said, "You got the service tonight, I can't make it." Didn't go into all the details why. But sitting in that chair, the Lord corrected me, talked to me about my attitude, about my reactions and my responses. Now, if you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and it's very seldom that the Holy Spirit ever shouts.
Amen.
He whispers. He's quiet. But there'll be that little check in the Spirit. Just a little breath of the Spirit. Now, hear me. I've been here. I know what I'm talking about. You need to pay attention to those little checks in the Spirit, that little breath of the Holy Spirit on your spirit. You need to be sensitive to it, because if you're not sensitive to it, he may have to speak a little louder. He may have to move in a different direction. Now, just to set the scene for this thing, turn to somebody right now and say, I'm not as holy as you think I am. Now, turn to someone else and say, I'm not as holy as I've tried to make you think I am. We don't like to admit that we're less like Christ than we are.
Amen.
So in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Oh.
Hello.
Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Now, chastening and scourging really mean the same thing. And I realize there's some fine tuning to be done in this message. And I've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to fine tune it to each of you individually in your spirit. But sometimes chastening and scourging, you can't tell them apart. They both mean the same thing. They are both meant to correct your thinking, your actions, your attitude. But you have to remember this. The scourging is proof of the relationship that you have with God.
Amen.
No scourging, no tweaking, no correction. You're lacking something in your relationship. Because if you are a child of God, you are going to be corrected.
That's right.
And sometimes it's our thought life that needs to be corrected.
Yes,
sometimes it's our attitudes that need to be corrected. Sometimes it is our reaction, responses, and speech that needs to be corrected. I can preach this because I've lived it. I've lived it. And I'm still living it. So once we, now coming down to verse 7. If you endure chastening, chastening means spanking, correction. It means the Spirit of God is correcting you. And sometimes that correction has to take on some discomfort.
Hello.
Either physically, emotionally, or spiritually. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. In other words, the fact that God is chastening you, that God is correcting you, is proof that you are a child of God. And He is going to correct His children. I've been corrected how many times? And you've been corrected when you didn't even understand and recognize it was the Holy Spirit of God. It was God correcting you because it was just something you felt or something you sensed, but you didn't slow down long enough to say, what am I doing here that requires Him to correct me? So you have to understand, what is the purpose of chastening? Christ-likeness. You have to understand this. God is determined to conform you to the image of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you have been born again, you're in a process of being conformed to be Christ-like. And I dare say that in this small congregation right here, there are any number of attitudes, reactions, responses that are not Christ-like. Private thoughts, those things that take place in our own lives, our own thinking, that we would never express to anybody else. Now, once you decide, okay, I'm going to be transparent with God. Now, folks, this is reality. You have to make a decision. I'm going to be transparent with God. I'm going to go to God with everything I know that's in my life that in any way opposes the Word of God, is in opposition to the Word of God, and in any way is un-Christ-like. My reactions, my responses. You see, you've got to learn to evaluate your thought life.
Amen.
The Word of God says take every thought captive. You say, wait a minute. All day long I'm thinking things and you're saying take every thought captive. No, God says take everything captive. Which means I've got to evaluate my thought life. I have to constantly evaluate my thought life. Is that thought of God or contrary to what God would have me to be? The whole purpose of chastening. God's going to get you Christ-like one way or the other. Amen. Now you can make, you've heard me say this before, but I want you to get this. You can make the conforming process to Christ's likeness as hard on yourself or as easy on yourself as you want to.
Yes,
you can resist what God is trying to change in your life. You can resist that thought, changing that thought process. You can resist that change in your reactions and your responses. You can resist that which he's telling you not to do, not to watch, not to read, not to be a part of, and what conversation not to be a part of. You can resist that. But you do so putting yourself at risk, because he's going to correct it. Before you get to glory, he's going to correct so much in my life and your life that is unchristlike. That's the whole process of sanctification. I wish the church better understood sanctification. Salvation is a one-time event. You're born again. You're adopted into the family of God. You become a new creation. But you come into the family, as I've told you the last two or three weeks, as a spiritual infant. He doesn't want you to stay there. He has got to allow things or introduce things into your life that will cause you to grow, to depend more on him, to seek him more intimately. You want to be more intimate with him. You want to understand him better. You want his mind. You want his heart. You want to be like him. You want to be conformed to his likeness. Now, to do that, he has to allow some things into your life that sometimes are not comfortable. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening. What is chastening? Correction. Now, no chastening. What does chastening look like? Depends. Depends on the severity of the chastening. Some chastening can put you in the hospital. Some chastening can cause you any number of problems. God is so loving, so merciful, and so full of grace. He tries his best to tweak us and get us sensitive to his Holy Spirit, to what he is trying to correct in our lives, either in our thought life, our reactions, our responses. But he's so gentle. He's a loving heavenly Father.
Amen.
But sometimes we force his hand.
That's right.
Sometimes in our obstinate refusal to submit and surrender to what he's trying to do, he has to force our hand. We, for the most part, do not like correction. You don't like to be corrected. Husbands don't like for the wives to correct them. Wives don't like for the husbands to correct them. Kids don't like for the parents to correct them. We just don't like correction. Why? To be corrected means I was wrong.
Amen.
Just that simple. To be corrected means I was wrong. Now, sometimes when we don't receive the correction, that calls for chastening. And chastening is meant to conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he going to take? Now, slow down. What's it going to take to get you like Jesus? There was no pride. Jesus did not do any self-exaltation. He humbled himself. He came obedient to the death of the cross. There was no self-exaltation in Christ Jesus, whatever. When God has to chasten you, and I've been chastened, but it's meant to conform us to Christ's likeness. That's what chastening is all about. He whispers. He speaks. He tries to get our attention. Spirit to spirit he speaks. If that doesn't work, then we force him to in some way get our attention. And sometimes that's not always that comfortable. You need to ask yourself time after time, when you're facing a situation you don't understand, and I've been there, is God at work in this situation? Is God trying through these circumstances, through this situation? Is God trying to get my attention? Is this a part of the process of conforming me to the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to ask yourself these questions. I've been there too many times. But now it gets, we have to cut this real, real thin. We ask ourselves, is God at work in this situation in which I find myself? Or is Satan at it?
Hello.
Is God at work in this situation? Or is it Satan at work in this situation? That is why you've got to have tremendous sensitivity to the voice of God. You've got to have sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, because if you're not careful, you'll misread the situation. Then you'll develop heartburn at God. You'll develop an antagonistic attitude. You'll take offense. And you won't be thankful. So you've got to be very, very careful. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God is absolutely essential. Now hear me, folks. I'm trying to save you a world of grief. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, as I've told you before, rarely, rarely raises His voice. He rarely shouts. Usually it's a whisper. I've used this illustration so often that I'll take a handkerchief and I'll just blow on it. That's the way the Holy Spirit many times works with your spirit. It's just a slight, gentle impression of the Spirit of God on your spirit saying, I don't like that attitude. I know what you're planning. I know what you're thinking. I know what you intend to do, and I don't approve of it. The question is, are you sensitive to that? Are you sensitive to just the whisper of the Holy Spirit against your spirit? I've been there too many times. And you've been there and didn't even recognize it. See, so many times if you're not careful, the Spirit of God will be moving on your spirit, trying to conform you to the image of Christ, trying to bring forth the reaction and the response that God would have from you, and you will miss it. And you'll react to respond in the flesh, one way or the other. So you have to be very careful there. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, if it's Satan, is God permitting Satan? Is God permitting Satan? I mean, Satan had to get permission to go against Job.
That's right.
Folks, listen, you got to have ears to hear this. Satan had to get God's permission to go up against Job. Job was not being chastened. God was not chastening Job. This was a battle that we don't understand between God and between Satan, and Job was in the middle of it. But you have to understand that he was being tested. You're going to be tested. I know in my heart of hearts, they call me, I had just surrendered to the ministry. I'm still in seminary. And this church calls, and I had made a talk somewhere, some youth something or something, and they heard about it, and they decided they wanted me to come be their pastor. So this is a Southern Baptist church. So they call me in to meet with the pulpit committee and the deacons and what have you. And I'm sitting there listening to them, and they're talking to me. And frankly, I broke down and wept. I shared some of my past life with them, some of what I had been, where I had gone, what I had did, and I was ashamed of it. But now God's got me, and He's been transforming me. He's been cleaning me up for some time now. But here these people are asking me to be their pastor. And so I confess my stuff to them, weeping. I'm not proud of a lot of things I was involved in. I'm not proud of a lot of what I was. But I was sitting there weeping. And they said, well, we can live with that. We can live with your past. And yes, we'd like you to be our pastor. But now one thing you need to understand is that we don't let blacks in here. I said, what? They said, we don't let blacks in here.
Uh-oh.
I said, then I can't be your pastor.
Hello.
I said, the Word of God says, whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will. So they said, well, listen, take this home and look at it. This is our financial statement, and this is what we offer, and this is the whole thing. And I said, it won't do any good. You can't change this. I said, I cannot stand with you when you stand against God. I cannot be your pastor. I will not be your pastor.
Amen.
And they said, well, take this and take it home and look it over. That night, I went out and got in my car, and I was weeping. I was thanking God that he let me draw a line in the sand. I was thanking God that he let me make the stand that I had made. And so I went home, and I threw the paperwork aside. I wasn't going to read it because I wasn't interested. I wasn't going to be a part of it. Well, about a week later, they called me and asked me if I changed my mind. I said, no. Your financial statement had no bearing whatever on the thing. And after that was over, within a days, I was asked to come to the old Central Baptist Church and preach there. And, of course, I ended up as... I didn't want to go there as a pastor. They wanted me to come as a pastor. I agreed to preach from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday while they looked for a pastor. But while I was preaching Sunday to Sunday, they weren't looking for a pastor. And so finally they got around to asking me to be their pastor, and I agreed to be their interim pastor. I didn't want to be their pastor. I said, I'll be your interim pastor. And I could almost take you to the place I was walking here in Mandarin. One Sunday afternoon, talking to God, and he told me, go. Go as their pastor. I didn't want to. And I said, I want to be an evangelist. I want to go into churches, tear them apart, leave them in pieces, and leave. But I told the Lord that afternoon, I said, well, if this is what you want, I'll do it. But see, I had to come through. Now, hear what I'm saying to you. I did not have a job. I had quit the profession I was in. As a matter of fact, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, my license was about to expire. And I was going down that morning to renew my license. It cost me $10. And I got halfway down the stairs where we lived, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go back upstairs and burn your license. And I went back up and I called Sharon in there. I said, maybe you better pray with me. I said, I think the Spirit of God... Now, I'm in seminary, but see, that's my backup plan. I'm in seminary, but if this don't work out good in seminary, well, I got a backup plan here because I was heavy hitter in the corporation. So that was my backup plan. And now God is checking my spirit. I go back upstairs, and I'm trying to hear the Lord, and he was telling me to lay it on the fireplace. Burn it. And I'm thinking, burn my license? You don't know what I went through to get that license. So I called Sharon in, and I said, pray with me. The Lord is telling me to burn my license. I didn't want to burn that license. He said, burn the license. And I'll never forget laying it on the fireplace and watching it go up in smoke. I knew I had just burned another bridge behind me. There was the church. I turned them down. Now I've got to burn my license. What the Lord was doing, he was bringing me to that point in time where there would be total submission to his leadership in my life. Have you been there yet? See, he don't want partial leadership. He's not interested in partial obedience. He wants total obedience. Amen. Whatever that takes, he wants total obedience from you. Once in a while, you go through something like Job was going through. Job wasn't being chastened. This was a conflict between God and Satan that we can't even comprehend. We cannot grasp it.
No, sir.
But this was between God and Satan. Well, has that occurred in your life? Have there been situations and circumstances in your life that on Satan's side of the equation, it was a temptation? On God's side, it was a test he was allowing you to come through. Would you rely on the Word? Would you rely on His Spirit? Would you agree? Would you believe? Would you trust? Would you obey? You've been there when you didn't even realize what you're up against. You've been there. And you're going to be there again. You will go there time after time before you ever get to glory. If it's a chastening, you'll know. If God is chastening you for something, but hear again that quiet, soft voice of the Holy Spirit, just letting you know, I'm not comfortable with this attitude of yours. I'm not comfortable with these reactions and responses of yours. It may be a simple thing of, I'm not really comfortable with what you're watching on television.
Hello.
I'm not comfortable with some of the conversations that you're involved in. I'm not comfortable with some of your input into some of the conversations you're involved in. You'd be surprised how many times I say nothing. I'll be listening to somebody talk. I don't agree. I don't disagree. I say nothing. Most sometimes you get out of me as a grunt. Maybe a nod of the head. I hear you. I'm not nodding my head that I agree with you. I'm nodding my head that I understand what you're saying. I understand your heart in this matter. That doesn't mean that I'm a part of it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to become a part of it. It just means that I understand. You have to understand this. When God is chastening you, and I've lived this, it comes in different levels of expression. When God is chastening you, and you've been chastened, did you know you were being chastened? You're going to be chastened. Word of God teaches this. If you're not chastened, you're not a child of God. If you're a child of God, you're going to be chastened. What does chastened mean? It means you're going to be corrected. Now, it comes at different levels. Sometimes it's very gentle. Sometimes it's very mild. But God knows how to turn up the heat as needed in order to get our attention. I've been there. He's had to turn up the heat on me. He's turned up the heat on you. And if you're not sensitive to His Holy Spirit, He will need to turn up the heat in the future. Folks, let me tell you something. Every day of the world, you need to get out of bed and in the first few minutes of your day, get with God. Submit and surrender to His Lordship in your life. And tell Him, where I need quickening, quicken me. Where I need correction, correct me. But give me sensitivity. Amen. Give me sensitivity to your spirit. Now we come to Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. What's he saying there? Listen. Now listen. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Let me put it to you in my words. Buck up. Just buck up. Quit pouting. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit murmuring. Quit griping. Quit complaining. If God is working a thing in your life to change what He wants to change in your life, accept it with thanksgiving. Amen. But don't go through life mother grubbing. I don't know how in the world I'm going through this. I just don't understand. Well, if you slow down and shut up and get on quiet before the Lord and find out what He's doing in your life and why He's doing it, you could get some victory in Him. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You're going to come through things where God is having to correct you. If you're not careful, you'll just sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Don't know why in the world I'm going through this and I'm going through. Well, I'm going to tell you why you're going through it. He is conforming you. He's in the process of conforming you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's some stuff in the conforming process that's not very comfortable. And by the way, let me say this. Get rid of your spiritual pride. I can almost smell spiritual pride when he walks in the room. Get rid of your spiritual pride. You're nothing but a dirty, rotten, lying, common, everyday, garden variety sinner.
Amen.
Saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And were it not for the grace of God, the love of God would be dead and in hell.
Yes.
But he was patient. Now, as patient as he was with you, you need to display that patience towards others.
Amen.
Same patience that he showed for you. You have to understand. But we tend to feel sorry for us. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't know why God has got me going through this. Because you need it.
Hello.
Because you need it. So, His chastening is proof of your relationship with Him. Your chastening is proof of your relationship with Him. In Hebrews 12:13, Word of God says, By the way, chastening is part of the conforming process. You have to understand, every day of the world, God never takes holidays. Every day of the world, as a believer priest, as a child of God, as a servant of God, you are being conformed to the image of Jesus. God will allow circumstances and situations in your life and people in your life that he can use to better conform you to himself. So you're going to come through periods of chastening as he conforms you. You have to understand that. It's all part of the conforming process. It's part of the correction. Hebrews 12:13. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. In other words, stay in the straight and narrow. Stay on that straight and narrow path of obedience in your relationship with God. And by the way, it's a narrow path.
Yes, sir.
It is a narrow path. And it's through compliance and obedience to the Word of God that we're made complete in Christ. See, God is determined to get you more Christ-like every day. He's determined to get you more Christ-like. He's preparing you for eternity. And you have to understand that obedience and compliance, that's just part of the process. You've got to learn to be not only obedient, but compliant with his will for your life, what he's allowing you to come through. Now understand this. Not every instance of suffering is chastisement. Now we're walking into some thin ice here, so bear with me. Not every ache and pain in the body, not every sickness, not every disease is necessarily a chastisement from your Heavenly Father. We are human beings in a human body. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, sickness, sin, disease, all that mixture is in the bloodlines. And I can't go deeply enough into this right now. I don't have the time. But many of you are suffering because of the sins of the fathers that is in the bloodline. And quite frankly, I had... finally agreed to God, okay, you want me to preach, I'll preach. I don't want to preach in one place, but I'll do it. But what I did not know, please hear me. This is so serious. I did not understand when I finally submitted and surrendered to minister and to pastor. I did not understand because in all my years in church, either I didn't have ears to hear or it wasn't taught, I never understood the concept of the spiritual reality of the sins of the fathers in the bloodline. Word of God says he'll visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And it becomes a continuum after that until somebody in that bloodline recognizes this is in my life, it's contrary to God's word, it's contrary to God's will. See, I had no idea. I was never taught in all the years I was coming up in church. I was never taught about the sins of the fathers. I was never taught about unclean spirits in the generational bloodlines. I was never taught how I could be privy to that. And quite frankly, I was in ministry for 8 or 10 years before I had to come to grips with that reality. Because, you see, what Satan will do, hear me and hear me carefully, because some of you are there right now. Listen to me. Satan will lay latent in your spirit until he has the right circumstances and the right situation and the right people in place to manifest what he wants to manifest in your life. And then you'll be surprised. I had no idea that potential, that proclivity was in my life. I had no idea. I just did a message that will be on the radio this week. I'm preaching two or three times a week on the radio, once here. But I'm making the comment in this message on the radio that there's not a preacher, nor a pastor, nor a bishop, nor a pope, nor a cardinal, none without sin and without ancestral sins in the life.
Amen.
You have them. You have them. You yourself are the victim, if I may put it that way, of ancestral sins in the bloodline, and unclean spirits in the bloodline want to manifest themselves through you, and they've many times they've been in your bloodline for any number of years.
Amen.
And that's a harsh reality to come to grips with. I had to come to grips with it. So you have to understand this now. Not every instance of chastening is because of your disobedience. God is going to correct you as His child. Friend, understand this. He is going to correct you. That attitude, that reaction, that response. You think I'm kidding when I say, do you have to turn to someone and say, I'm not as holy as you think I am? No, I'm not kidding. None of us are. All of us are a work in progress. Most of us, praise God, are not where we were. We're not where we want to be. We're in a process. And you've got to come through stages of spiritual growth. You don't come out of Satan's family into the kingdom of God as a mature Christian. You come out of Satan's family into the family of God as a spiritual infant.
Amen.
And you've got to grow. You've got to grow into it then. We are in physical bodies in a sin-cursed world. And because we're in a sin-cursed world, it can affect these physical bodies that we're in. God, understand this. God can and God does use physical infirmities at times to bring correction to His own children. Here's where you got to go with that. When I had my stroke, I got along with the Lord because I'm dead serious about the kingdom of God. I got along with the Lord and I said, is this from you? Or is this from Satan? Did you do this? Or did you allow Satan to do this? What am I to learn from this? What am I to learn? And he flooded my soul with peace. Be at peace. Because I came through the stroke, about the only thing I really lost at the time was some memory. I lost some memory of some things. I wish I'd lost some memory of some things I didn't lose memory of. Because the memories back that I would to God were not there. But the Lord, when I went to Him, He impressed upon my spirit, no, it's not a punishment. It's an attack. But now what does the Word of God say? Give Him praise in everything.
Amen.
In everything give thanks. Do you do that? Can you take the licks of life and the hardships of life? Can you take that which you don't understand? And that which you would like to understand and is painful emotionally, spiritually, physically, can you say, thank you, Father? You see, God is sovereign. And Satan can only go as far as God will let him go in any situation or circumstance.
Right.
Now, there's been three distinct times when Satan tried to take me out. I mean, tried to take me out. Three that I can name. And God protected me. I'm teaching you this. I didn't plan this to come out in the message, but I want you to understand. You're in a warfare. And we've got a lot of wounded warriors in the battle.
Yep.
The church is full of wounded warriors, and they are responding and reacting in ways many times that are unchristlike, not approvable by Christ, because they themselves don't understand what they're up against. Every time I come to the pulpit, this is going on the radio. Everything I do is on the radio. I have to say to myself, there's a multitude out there that do not understand why they respond, why they react to what they respond, the way they react, the way they respond, and they don't understand the sins of the fathers. They don't understand giving ground. The Word of God says, give no place to the devil. Do not give him any legal access whatever into your life. Because if you give him legal access into your life through disobedience to the Word of God, the will of God, he's going to take that ground you give him, and he's going to try to multiply that ground in your life. The unclean spirit went out of a man, looking for another place, couldn't find a suitable place, so I'll go back to my own house. Took seven more with him. The last day was worse than the first day. God uses sometimes physical infirmities for his cause. But then a lot of time we bring it on ourselves. We bring a lot of stuff on ourselves and then blame God for it. We bring it on ourselves, we blame God, we blame Satan, when we ourselves are the one who brought it on ourselves, and many times we do that through disobedience.
Yes,
Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people. Do you do that? It's the Word of God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Do you pursue holiness? Do you pursue holiness? Is that the desire of your heart, the bottom desire of your heart, that you want to be holy? Holy unto God? And holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Notice this carefully. Pursue peace with all people. Try to get along with everybody. But pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. Pursue God-likeness. Pursue Christ-likeness. Pursue holiness. Without which, no one will see God. You want to see God? You better be holy. Now, he makes you holy when you're born again. But now you've got to pursue holiness. You've got to seek to develop holiness in every expression of your life.
Amen.
Your thought life. Your speech, your actions, your reactions, everything in life. You've got to pursue holiness. Now we come to Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Let's break that down as I close this out. Watch this very carefully. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Some expositors state that concerning people who are unsaved. I don't go there. I can see that line of thought, but I go with it falls short of the grace of God. If I am not in compliance with the will of God, if I'm not in subjection and submission to the will of God, if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct me, I may fall short of the grace. I understand that community that says this speaks to unsaved people. However, look at the rest of it. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. We're talking about spiritual infection. You've got to, listen. If you think you've got infection in your body, right now you're off to the doctor. You want to find out, what can I do about this infection in my body? What about spiritual infection?
Hello.
Do you ever examine your life to see if you have any spiritual infection in your life? If so, you take it to the throne of God. You discuss it with him very openly, very frankly. And by this manner, become defiled. Spiritual infection in the body of Christ. We're full of it. Hear me. Folks, I don't know if you are keen on this or not. The United States of America is sick.
Amen.
The United States of America is sick. I just hope she's not on her deathbed. I hope she's not on her deathbed. You see, what happens, hear me carefully, I'm wrapping up, because you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution, one or the other. No in between. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. If you are lukewarm in your walk with the Lord, if you're basically prayerless in your walk with the Lord concerning the kingdom of God and the nation, you're part of the problem. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. And the way you become part of the solution is you submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ every day of your life. You want to bring, and you beg Him, anoint me to bring every thought captive to you. You want to guard your speech, what you say, what you don't say. You want to guard your attitude, your reactions, your responses. All of that has to come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm asking God to purge and purify the church. The church is a bride of Christ. And I'm asking God to get the sin out of the camp. Get the sin out of the camp. We've had whole denominations compromise with Satan. We've had whole denominations put their stamp of approval on what God's Word adamantly denies. We've embraced it. Our nation is sick. And part of the problem, a great deal of the problem, lies at the front door of the church. Word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear their prayer. Then will I heal their land. We got a problem. And the problem starts with the church. And I'm just simply trying to help you better understand what it means to walk with God, to be His child, to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a warrior in the kingdom of God. Because, folks, we're in trouble. So I hope you'll take what you've heard today, relate it to your life, and if you're short in some place, simply confess it as sin. Well, hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge, and I hope that in some way the message today has encouraged you, has strengthened you, and perhaps helped you better understand what Christ expects of you, what Christ wants of you. Let me tell you what I want from you. I want your participation in intercessory prayer for this nation. Folks, we're in trouble. The United States of America, if it were a living human being, would be considered a candidate for critical care in the hospital of the nations. We're in trouble. We have turned our back on everything that God said we ought to be. We have violated His word in every possible way. We have become everything that nations before us became that God destroyed. And I dare say that this nation is in the balances. You know, the Word of God says you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. I have no doubt that the United States of America, weighed in God's balances, are found wanting. So we need repentance. We need intercessory prayer. We need the people of God to be the people of God and to go before the throne of God day by day by day, confessing the sins of the nation, the sins of the church, and pleading with God for a move of His Holy Spirit in our nation. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of approaching Your people. I thank You for the privilege of teaching the Word of God. I thank You for the privilege of approaching Your throne, Father God, for You are the Lord God Almighty. You are Jehovah God. And Jesus, I come before the throne of Almighty God in Your holy and precious name, consenting with You and agreeing with You that we as a nation have sinned. We in many respects are a sick nation from the top of the head to the bottom of the foot. We are in many respects a sick nation. We need a move of Your Holy Spirit. We need a move of Your Holy Spirit purging, pruning, refining that organization that calls itself the church as well as that organism that is the church. So I'm asking you, we are asking you, for a move of Your Holy Spirit in this nation, Father God, destroying satanic strongholds, reversing that which has been put in place that is anathema to your character and the Word of God, and stirring our hearts to repentance and to prayer. I'm asking you, Father God, to stir the hearts of those of your people who are sensitive to your Holy Spirit and who are willing to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. You said you were looking for a man that would stand in the hedge and make up the gap. You found one, that's me, and there's perhaps hundreds of thousands of others. And Father, I'm asking you to stir their hearts that they will be willing to stand in the hedge, make up the gap, pray for the advancement of the kingdom of God in this nation, destroy the strongholds of Satan in this nation, and once again, let us truly be one nation under God, because right now, Father, we're not one nation under God. Oh, Father God, we need a move of your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you, start with the bride of Christ, the body of Christ on earth today, the church. It lays with us. I'm asking you to move in such a way as to bring repentance and intercessory prayer. And if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you for allowing us to approach your throne like this. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, folks, thanks for joining us today, and keep praying. Keep interceding on behalf of this nation, because I'm telling you, if we do not have a move of God, we are in serious trouble. Once again, thanks for joining us today on Challenge, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.